Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible, let me just help you right now. Because I'll tell you what, today's message will be an opportunity to bring change into your life. I am so thrilled about what we're preaching about today because it exposes the enemy. It exposes how the enemy works in your life. And it's an area that people struggle and they miss it in. And it causes grief and it causes things that shouldn't happen. But I want to tell you something. The Bible says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Not blessed are they which just sit in church. Not blessed are they which came to church. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They will be the ones that are filled. And so what does that mean? What are you saying that to me for, Pastor Mike? Get excited about the word right now. Say, Lord, I mean, you might be tired in your body. You might have your mind elsewhere. Put it on God right now. And spiritually speaking, I don't mean naturally. You can do this naturally if you want. But spiritually speaking, be on the edge of your seat. Because I'll tell you what, the Bible says the word will go out, but not everyone will receive the benefits of it. It's only the ones that are hungry for it. And I'll tell you what, today's going to be good for you. And so before we get into the word, let's pray. Make sure what he wants said gets said here this morning. Lord, we love you so much. We're just honored to be in your presence. Jesus, we know you're here. You said so in your word. You said if two or three would gather. Well, there's more than two or three, so we know you're here. And Lord, we're just honored to be in your presence, and we're so thankful for your word. Lord, this isn't the repetitive part of the week. This isn't just, you know, what we do for the next 40 minutes and, you know, just get done. No, Father, this is a time for change. This is a time when we can be blessed. This is a time when you're going to do a work in our life. And Father, we thank you for it beforehand. We come with an attitude of faith. We come with an attitude of expectation here this morning that, Father, we're going to be changed from the inside out. Father, we're going to be different walking out of here. And Lord, speak through me. May what you want said today be said. May what you want to be accomplished or to be done in this service, may it happen today, Father. And we'll give you all the praise. We'll give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Mark 5. If not, we do have the Bible up on the screen. And I just want to encourage, I like to tell this to people. This will keep people safe. How do you know if a church is good? Maybe you're visiting, maybe you're new to church. How do you know if a church, how do I know it's not weird? How do I know that I can be safe there? How do you know that they're not trying to manipulate me? How do you know they're not trying to take advantage of me? Make sure everything that's said and done is in the Bible. That's the one way that you can be kept safe. That's the one way that you can know, man, I can believe what he's saying. I can get on board with that. And always make sure, don't take my word for anything, right? Don't take the TV preacher's word for anything. Don't take a family member's word for anything. It's got to be in the Bible, right? The Bible's what's going to bring our change and bring our help. And so we're going to preach the word this morning. We're going to trust that God's going to do a work in your life. But in Mark chapter 5, in verse 25 is where we're going to start. And we're going to look at a story real quick, and then we're going to take off from here. And Mark chapter 5 and verse 25 says this. It says, a certain woman. So it's not just a made-up story. It's a certain woman. Now notice this, which had an issue of blood for 12 years. She suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. So she was in a bad place. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. What's the press behind? Well, if you read this few verses before, there was a multitude following Jesus, and they were all thronging him or touching him and reaching out. There was a huge crowd, and she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now she touched his clothes, and straightway the fountain of blood was dried up. 12 years was obliterated in one moment with Jesus. I don't care what you're going through. One touch from heaven, one word from heaven can turn around your whole destiny, can set you on a new course. How do I know it's happened in my life? One thing said in a service, one thing spoken, one touch from Jesus can change it all. And this 12 years, she spent all her money, went to the best doctors, never got better. And in one moment, Jesus, praise God. Straightway, the fountain of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, they basically are thinking, you're crazy, sir. He said, you see the multitude thronging you. Now, if you study the life of Jesus, thousands of people followed him. So there could have been thousands of people grasping and reaching out for him and touching him. And Jesus says, who touched me? And the disciples said, Lord, you see the multitude thronging you, and you ask, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Now notice what he said. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now I'm not necessarily going to teach on what I'm going to say here, but I want to make this statement because I don't know what you're going through. Maybe you're going through something financially that has holes in it. Maybe you're going through something physically that's just not perfect and not fulfilled. Maybe you're going through something with a family member. Faith can make you whole. Faith made her whole. Jesus didn't say, daughter, you are one lucky woman that I'm here today. He didn't say, boy, you're lucky God decided to shine his happy face on you this morning. No, he said, your faith made you whole. And let me tell you something. I don't care what you're going through, your faith can make it whole. Your faith can take the broken and put it back together with God's help. Amen? But that's not what I want you to see here. He said, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now, this is what I want you to see where so many Christians miss it. So many Christians struggle in this area. Jesus said, your faith made you whole. So now she's feeling good in her body. But he didn't just say, go on your merry way. He gave her instructions. He says, your faith has made you whole. He says, go in peace. People say, I don't understand what you're saying. He's instructing her how to live the rest of her life. It says, go in peace and be whole of thy plague. The Amplified Bible, which brings out the original translation, says, go in peace and be continually healed of thy plague. You know, it's one thing, I've seen it. People get healed and the same thing come right back on their body. Supernaturally healed and the same thing, it shouldn't be that way. And Jesus is instructing her, says, listen, 12 years of hell on earth has just been fixed by me. But I'm telling you what, when you go away, you have an assignment and you have some work to do. If you expect to stay whole, he says, go in peace. Go in peace. Don't go in torment. Don't go in fear. Don't go in worry. Don't go in concern. He says, go in peace and then you'll be whole of your plague, continually whole. Or you could say it this way, daughter, you're whole now, but if you go out there and you get out of peace, don't expect that wholeness to stay in your life. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters in Christ, don't expect the wholeness in your life to stay perfect if you're not in peace. If you get out of peace, you cannot expect for the situation to work out and to stay good. So I'm going to help you with that today, staying in peace. You know, financial situations arise, takes us out of our peace. Job situations can arise, takes us out of our peace. Family situations can arise, takes us out of our peace. Health situations in our body can arise and take us out of our peace. If the devil can get you out of peace, he can get you out of faith. He can. If he can get you out of peace, he can get you out of faith. And remember, your faith makes you whole. Jesus didn't say, daughter, because of me. No, he said, your faith, you did this. You did this. Your faith can make you whole, but if the devil can rob your peace, he can rob your blessing. Why? You get out of peace, you're out of faith. We're not going to turn there because of time's sake, and we don't even need to put this up on the screen. You can look this up later, but in Mark chapter 4, remember when Jesus told the disciples, he said, get in the boat, let's go to the other side. He just got done preaching, and he says, boys, let's go, we're going to the other side of this body of water. Well, when they got out in the middle of the body of water, a great storm rose up, the Bible says, of hurricane proportions. So much so that the disciples woke Jesus up and said, Lord, we're dying here. They thought they were as good as dead that day. That's how bad the storm was. I've never been in a storm where I thought I was going to lose my life. They were in a storm that they thought was going to lose their life. That tells you how bad it was. And Jesus said to them, why is it that you're so fearful? Now let me ask you a question. Is fear peace? No. Sure isn't. You can't be in peace if you're in fear. And Jesus said this. He goes, why are you so fearful? He said, how is it that you have no faith, zero faith. So what he's saying is the people that lose their peace are the same people that can be in the category of no faith. And when you're in the category of no faith, you won't be in the category to receive from God. You won't be in the category to make those situations in your life that have holes in them and pieces missing. You won't be able to make them whole. Amen, it's true. So I want to help you today going forward. Now you might say, Pastor Mike, you don't understand. You're pretty bold of you to stand up there and tell me not to get out of peace. You don't know what I'm going through. You want to know the answer to that? You're darn right I don't, but Jesus does. And Jesus is the one who told us, don't be worried about anything. Actually, go with me to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. We'll pull it up on the screen. I want to show you something, because you might say, well, that might be good for my neighbor, or that might be good for the person down the street, but you don't understand what I'm going through in my body. You don't understand what my finances look like. You don't understand what I'm going through in my family right now. You just don't get it. And for you to stand up there and to tell me that, you're lost. You don't get it. Well, now remember, I'm not the writer of this. God is. He says, be careful. Now that's a little blind to us in the King James, but that translated is be anxious for nothing. Is anxiety worry and fear? It sure is. Anxiety is not peace, is it? No. Look what he says. Be anxious for how much? Well, Pastor Mike, my situation counts to be anxious. No, it doesn't. When Jesus and the Holy Ghost gave this verse to the Apostle Paul, and he wrote that down, he wasn't in heaven. I'll say it this way. He's not pacing the floor right now about your situation. Say, oh my gosh, I put Philippians 4:6 in there, but I didn't consider that. No. Your situation is not that big in God's eyes. Now, I'm not being not compassionate towards your situation. I'm saying in God's eyes, your situations, because they're that easy to be turned around from Him. He has compassion on you, and He wants to bless you, and He wants to help you. But God's not up in heaven like this, pacing the floor. Oh, Sister So-and-so, doggone it, Philippians 4 and verse 6, I put that in there, and I didn't even think about their situation. Of course they should be anxious about that. No, He knew. He knew the beginning from the end. Be anxious for nothing. That's not a suggestion. That's a commandment. Don't do it. Don't be worried. Why? When you get worried, you step out of that place of faith. And when you step out of that place of faith, guess who can have his way with you? The devil. I've been on this verse lately. It's been in my heart. If you don't remember, I'll just tell it to you really quick here. I'm not even following my notes here today. Holy Spirit's taking us all over the place. It's good, though. Jesus told Peter something. He said, Peter, Satan desires to have you. He says he desires to sift you like wheat. Jesus is telling him, the enemy, Peter, is after your life. Now, I'm going to tell you what Jesus' next statement is. You can look this up. Jesus did not say to him, Peter, I'm praying that that devil would leave you alone. He didn't say that. He didn't say, Peter, I'm praying that God would show up mighty in your life. Nope. He got done telling one of his closest disciples. There was 12, but there were 3, Peter, James, and John, that were so close to him. He said, Peter, the devil's after you. Therefore, I have prayed that your faith would fail not. Isn't that amazing? He says, Peter, the way the devil's not going to have his way with you rises and falls on your faith. He didn't say, I'm going to do something about this devil. That's why I'm trying to get it over to people. You can't get out of peace. Because when the disciples got out of peace, Jesus said, you're not a faith person. If you're not a faith person, Jesus told Peter, the devil will have his way with you. And the devil is coming in to homes and people's situations, people's bodies, people's businesses, people's finances, people's lives, and having his way with them, because people are getting out of peace. They're not obeying the word of God. They're anxious for everything. One little thing shows up and they're worried. They're wringing their hands. They're losing sleep. And then they get out of faith. And then what? The devil has his way. The one thing that the devil can't, remember the Bible says, and take the shield of faith, which will quench all, everybody say all, all the fiery darts of the enemy. The one thing the devil can't defeat is faith. That's why Jesus said, Peter, your faith has to be on the mark, because the devil can't touch you then. Right. Yeah, it's true. And so you get into worry, you get into fear, and you get into anxiety, and stop magnifying your situation that, oh, they just don't understand. Yes, he does. The Bible says no temptation or no test has overtaken you, but that which is common to man. We think we're in it by ourselves. We think we're the only ones experiencing. The Bible says it's common. There are billions of people. Stop thinking you're alone in this. Stop thinking that God doesn't know how to fix your problem. He says, but you need to work with me because it's your faith. You know, I could say this to the body of Christ. I could say this to this church. Body of Christ, we know this. The Bible says Satan's our adversary. The Bible says Satan's our enemy. It says to be vigilant and be sober, for your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The ones he's going to devour are the ones who aren't in faith. And so because of that verse, I could stand up here and say to you, South Dayton Family Church, Satan desires to have you. But you know what your pastor prays for you every single day? That your faith would fail not. Because my faith won't get you through your problems. My faith won't get you through your trials. I can't pray heaven down for God to fix it. No, if Jesus could have done that for Peter, he would have. But he says, Peter, you got to make sure your faith is there. And your faith won't be there if you get into worry. And Jesus told the woman with the issue of blood, if you want to stay whole, because the sickness is going to try to come back on you, if you want to keep it, you got to stay in peace. And I'm going to help you with that. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Praise God. I don't know if you can tell, but I am passionate about this stuff because I love people. It's interesting when people get mad at the pastor for trying to help. Listen, I give my life for this stuff, man. I'd put my family in major financial jeopardy for this. I'm away from my family all the time to start church in another town, an hour away from my house. I care about human beings. I care about people being blessed. That's why we'll teach you the word. I hate seeing people suffering. I hate seeing people in hurt. I hate seeing people in poverty. I hate seeing people in sickness because my God provided a better way for you. Amen. And so that's why I'm trying to get you to live that abundant life that God has for you. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Now, you're going to find out here now what your peace rises and falls on. It has nothing, zero to do with your circumstance. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how dire it looks, how horrible it looks. Your peace has zero to do with your circumstance. Jesus in the New Testament already told us to be anxious for nothing. But in Isaiah 26 and verse 3, are you ready for this?
Yes.
You will keep him in perfect peace. What could be better than perfect peace? Nothing. Perfect peace is perfect. He said, I will keep him in perfect peace. Are you ready?
Yes.
Whose bank account is full?
No.
Nope. Whose body gets a clean bill from the doctor? Nope. Whose all their ducks are in a row and everything in their life is perfect and there's not one. Listen, as long as you're on planet Earth, all your ducks will not be in a row. As long as you're on planet Earth, there will always be tests and always be trials. Get used to it. You live in a world that's run by the devil. He doesn't like you, but praise God, we can defeat those tests and trials.
Amen.
But he says, I'll keep you in perfect peace. Now, here it is. Whose mind is stayed or fixed on thee. The Bible says your peace is dependent not on your circumstances, not on your bank account, not on your physical well-being or not well-being. Your peace is dependent on where your mind is. Because how you think will be how you react. And how you react will be what comes into your life. Because your faith is all about a reaction. Faith is all about a reaction. When hell shows up at your front door and knocks, hello, who's there? Hell's here, coming to mess your life up. How are you going to react? And you're going to react on the basis of what's been in your mind. I'm going to make a statement that's really going to be, if you don't ever forget this, the greatest battlefield that you'll ever encounter on planet Earth is the battlefield of your thought life.
That's right.
The battlefield of your mind is the greatest because if your mind is on Jesus, you see, let me just say it this way. When it seems like you don't have enough money, if you're thinking right, it don't bother you.
Right.
When the doctor's telling you one thing, but you're thinking right, I'm going to tell you how to think right. When you're thinking right, it doesn't bother you. It doesn't move you. It doesn't get you out of peace.
Amen.
When you're thinking right, when situations arise, if you're thinking right, according to the word, it doesn't bother you. And when you think right, you act in faith. When you act in faith, the devil goes running away.
Amen.
He does.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We're trying to help people this morning. And so the Bible says, I'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You might as well just understand this right now. And don't take this personally. The biggest problem you have in your life is not your spouse. Don't do any of this. The biggest problem you have in life, it's not your kids, it's not your job, it's not your finances, it's not your body, it's not your coworkers. The biggest problem you have in life is you. Right between the ears is the biggest thing that will take you out of God's blessing. Nobody can rob Pastor Mike of his blessing. There ain't no demon in hell. There ain't no human being on the face of this earth that can take me out of the plan of God. The only one that can take me out of the plan of God is me. I'm the only one. The devil can't have his way with me. If I do things God's way, and the way the devil works is the thought life. I'm going to show you that. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Praise God. You say, Pastor, explain that about, you know, if situations show up. You know, it's like this when financial, I made that statement about, you know, I'll do anything for the kingdom of God. He knows it. That's not me just saying, I'll do anything for God. And when he said to start a church with no salary, let me tell you about the thoughts that came ripping through my mind, because I had a brand new baby. And that put us almost $1,200 to $2,000 short every month to start a church that I wasn't getting paid at. Let me tell you the thoughts that ripped through my mind. I'll tell you, when you have kids, priorities change. You grow up a little bit when you have children, because now you ain't living for yourself anymore. You're not just living for your spouse. You got these human beings that are so vulnerable that can't make it without you. And here, it didn't even look like we'd have enough money. Those are just our bills. That didn't count diapers. That didn't count food. Didn't count clothes. Didn't count anything. And the thoughts that ripped through my mind, but you know what? I thought right. I'm going to show you how to think right. And because I thought right, because the right thoughts were in my mind, the right words came out of my mouth, the right actions came out of my life. And it caused that to be defeated and me to be victorious in that financial realm. 2 Corinthians 5, let's see here. 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry. I'm so confused because my Bible is so messed up right now in this area. Oh, let me see where it really is. Hey, 2 Corinthians 10. Just wanted to mess your notes up and get you all flipping back and forth. If you look up here, you'll see my Bible in this area is just gone to pieces, and it's kind of confusing me up here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4 we're going to start. Actually, back up to 3. You need to see 3. For though, here it is, for though we walk in the flesh. Do you walk in the flesh? You sure do. You got an earth suit. It's flesh. You can feel it. Pinch yourself. You'll know you have a flesh, right? Though we walk in the flesh, though we live in the flesh, the Bible says we do not war after the flesh. What's that saying? Our fight is not in the flesh realm. It's the spiritual realm. Your physical problems are not in the flesh realm. It's in the spiritual realm. Your family problems, they're not a physical thing. It's not a thing you can touch. It's a spiritual thing. Remember, and over there in Ephesians chapter 6, it says the weapons of our, or it says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our fight's not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, might, and dominion. What's he talking about? The things of the devil, the spiritual things that you can't see. And so now he says here, we walk in the flesh, but we don't war after the flesh. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare. Now here's talking about weapons. Weapons are used to go on the offensive to defeat whatever's coming your way. They're not carnal. They're not fleshly. But, here it is, our weapons are mighty through God. Now it's going to tell you what your weapons are for. To the pulling down of strongholds. So the Bible says that our weapons are mighty, and the purpose of them are to the, or you could say it this way, for the weapons we're given are for the, or to the, pulling down of strongholds. So the Lord is telling you that your issue in life is going to be strongholds. And what he gives you are weapons to pull those strongholds down. He tells you exactly what problems you're going to have, and he tells you exactly what the weapon's going to do. So it's mighty through God to the or for the pulling down of strongholds. Now verse 5 is going to tell you what your battleground is. Are you ready?
Yes.
Here it is, verse 5. Remember, pulling down strongholds, now it explains what the strongholds are. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now here it is. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The Bible says we have weapons that they're mighty. The purpose of these weapons are to pull down strongholds. What are strongholds? Imaginations and high thoughts that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Do you want to know what the knowledge of God is? The Word. The Word is the knowledge of God. And the Bible says that you'll get imaginations and you'll get high things that will exalt itself and try to puff itself up over the Word. Let me give you an example. You'll get thoughts of sickness. Well, the Bible says by His stripes you are healed. He heals all your diseases. He says he says the Word is powerful for your flesh and to heal your flesh. He says all these things, and so then you'll get a thought, I'm sick, I'm not going to be able to be healed from this. What is that? That's an imagination. You start imagining yourself on the sickbed. You start imagining yourself with this sickness in your body, and it's exalting itself over what God says you can have. Let's use another one. Financial situation come your way, and financial problems come your way. And all of a sudden you get thoughts of, I'm not going to be able to pay this bill. I'm not going to make it. I'm always going to be poor. It'll never work out for me. I'll never have enough. All those thoughts, and you're starting to imagine yourself, I can see my house online for foreclosure. Oh, I can see him coming to take this. Oh, I can see me losing this. Every one of those thoughts are exalting itself against what God says, which is all your needs can be supplied. That you can prosper, that the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, that though Jesus Christ was rich for your sakes, he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. All these things, a situation arises, that's too big for me. I can't defeat that. That's exalting itself over the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God says you are a conqueror, more than a conqueror. The Bible says the greater one's on the inside of you. The Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And so, the battleground that the devil wants to work with you on, listen, if he could kill you, he'd do it. He would have killed you on the way to church. He can't. The devil don't have that kind of power. But what he does do is he plants a thought in the people's minds about sickness, about disease, about poverty, about their kids, about their situation, about their circumstances. And he tries to get you, instead of casting it down, and I'm going to show you what does that look like. What does that mean? Instead of doing what the Bible says, you start imagining. And he didn't say to sit there and imagine it. You have situations and you're imagining the worst possible case scenario. Let's face it, we've all done it. You know how I know? You hear something in the middle of the night and, oh man, they're coming to get me. Right? It's just a little creak in the floor. And all of a sudden you're imagining getting tied up and beat and, you know, everything's being robbed from you and it was just nothing. Right? The imagination's just run free. And that's what people are doing. Thoughts are coming into your head and you're imagining the worst case scenario and you're not even considering what he said. And this is your answer. And the Bible says, listen, you start thinking those ways, it'll take you out of peace. It'll take you right out of peace and it'll take you right out of faith and it'll take you right out of your victory. Right out of your victory. Okay, Pastor Mike, I get this now. I got thoughts. And what does it mean to cast them down and to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ? Do you know the greatest need in the body of Christ, the number one need in the body of Christ, is for people to renew their minds? There's nothing more important, once you get born again, than the need for the body of Christ to renew their minds. Renew their minds to what? What he says. Amen. When you renew this to this, you start talking different. You start having a faith walk about you. You start having a faith talk about you. But until this between your ears gets straightened out, you're going to talk wrong. You're going to live wrong. You're not going to accomplish what God has told you to do. And the devil, let me pull the veil off it for you right here. Not to scare you, but to hopefully light a fire under you and motivate you. Just because you're a child of God, and just because you love Jesus, and just because sometimes you might cry at a worship song, and you might get goosebumps, doesn't mean a lick that you'll have victory in your life. Doesn't mean. Now, religion will, I heard one person say, this person died of sickness. And you know, you find out all they did was talk about how sick they were. All they did was talk about, it was a minister who told me about somebody because they were fighting me on healing. They said, healing's not for today. I said, yes, it is. The Bible says. I said, no, I knew so-and-so who was sick and they died. So healing can't be of God. I said, well, and they started telling me how they were talking. They always said they were going to have this. They never didn't believe in healing. Well, yeah, I know. That's why it happens. Right. And people go that route. And they think, well, this person was shocked. This person was a good person. They loved God. They were in church every week. Big deal. There are people sitting in churches all over the world that the devil's having his way with their life. It doesn't matter that you come in here and sit. It matters that you come in here and sit, you listen, and you do it. It doesn't matter that you sit here. It doesn't matter that you love God with all your heart. Peter loved God with all his heart. And yet Jesus said, your faith. And your peace, whether you're in peace or not, will take you in and out of faith. So what does it mean to cast down and bring it to every thought of obedience of Christ? You need to renew your mind to the Word of God. Romans 12. Hallelujah. Romans 12. Praise God. You know what's interesting is that I'll tell people sometimes they'll get in situations. And man, the devil's the one wreaking havoc in your life. It's not God, it's not your pastor. And the pastor will tell you what to do to get out of it. And for some reason, people start hating the messenger. They'll get mad. The devil will twist it around. See, my message hasn't changed in 3 years. And you want to know something? My message will not change for the next 33 years. I will preach the same exact sermons over and over. Why? This thing will never change. If I preached from the John Deere riding lawnmower manual and I had the same manual, you're going to hear the same stuff of how to grease the same parts, how to do the same oil changes, the same time, length of time before you do this thing and change this filter. You're going to hear the same thing. Whether you're having a good time or a bad time, you're going to hear the same thing. Don't hate the messenger. Don't let the devil tell you, oh, he don't care. I'm the one in your corner. I'm the one that's praying night and day for your situation. I'm the one that's giving you the word of God. But the devil will twist it, I'll tell you. I've had people tell me, Pastor, I'm with you till the end. Gone. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He doesn't care about my situation. My message hasn't changed. The message will never change. The word of God will always remain the same. And I will stick to this thing until the day I die. Because I got two children that depend on me being right. And I refuse to even put them in one way of harm's way. So I'm going to do my best to be. I don't care if people like it or don't like it. I'm sticking with the Bible. Amen. And if you like the Bible, come on for the ride. It's going to be good. It'll be, and I'll tell you, those that endure, the Bible says, it ain't the tests and trials. Are you ready for a statement that you'll really love? Yeah. It ain't the tests and trials in your life that are the problem. You know, when I was in school, I didn't do so good because I was very lazy and I didn't care. And I just, you know, when I put my mind to it, I did all right. But a lot of times I didn't care. And so there'd be people that get hundreds on the tests and I'd get maybe a 68 or a 70. It wasn't the test's fault. It was the test taker's fault. The test just revealed what I knew. The test, why can somebody else do good on it? Because they knew a little more, right? Do you see that there? Praise God. So let's be good test takers. Let's be good test takers. Hallelujah. Romans 12. In verse 2. Well, we'll start in verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So many people do whatever they want with their own body. Listen, if you study the Word of God, your body ain't yours. Your body, you don't have the right to do certain things to your body. The Bible says you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. You're supposed to present your body as a living sacrifice. Why? Because look what it says. If you do, you'll find out what is acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then it goes into verse 2. It tells you to do something with your body, present it, be holy with your body. And then in verse 2, it tells you what to do with your mind. Be not conformed to the world. Now here it is, but be transformed or be changed. Watch your situations go from bad to good. Watch your situations go from impossible to possible, from horrible to wonderful. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Isn't it interesting? You say, your situations be transformed by begging God to do something. Didn't say that. And let me just say this, because this just fell in my spirit. If you're here today and your life is miserable and you have a terrible life and things aren't going well, God's got something better for you. God's got something wonderful for you. God's got a new life for you. And I don't care if you've been a Christian for 50 years and you haven't been doing it and your life's hell on earth, God's got something better for you. Praise God. And he says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Lord is saying the way you're going to change, the way things are going to get better, you got to think different. You got to do what 2 Corinthians 5 or 10 and verse 5 says, to bring, remember it said, to cast down imaginations? To bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. What's that mean? When a thought rips through your brain, you bring it to the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, you cast it down and say, oh no. Let me give you an example. Thought rips through your head. You ain't going to make that financially. You ain't going to pay that bill. Okay, I bring that thought to the Word. Wait a second. The Word says, my God shall supply all my needs. I reject that thought. I cast that thought down. My God will supply all my needs. But instead, Christians are walking around. I'm not going to make it. They're calling people. I'm not going to make it. I call on the phone. They're not, I'm not going to make it. What? Yeah, you are. The Bible says you are. You got to bring it. I look like a crazy preacher up here. But you know what? You can call me a fanatic. But I'll tell you what, it works for me. People get fanatical down at Ralph Wilson Stadium over a dead pig. with some white lines on the field and pig, dead pig crossing the goal line. People go crazy. Well, I'm crazy at 213 Pine Street in South Dayton. I'm crazy for Jesus. And I'll tell you what, no touchdown can do what Jesus has done for my life. It's true, and what it'll do for your life. But you have a part to play. You need to renew your mind. And we'll close with this scripture, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. God loves you so much. He loves you so much. He loves you so much that he's telling you today how to get out of your situation. He's telling you today how to change things. There was a minister that was talking to me about a situation, and she said this, older than me in the faith, longer, more established. She said there was a time when she was around somebody that had like flu-like symptoms in their body. And someone made the statement, you better be careful, that's going to get on you as well. Well, instantly that thought came into her mind about the flu getting on her, and it troubled her. I mean, who wants the flu? Nobody. And it's troubled her. And so she immediately started confessing healing scriptures. She starts pacing the floor, by his stripes I'm healed. He heals all my diseases, all my sicknesses, all my diseases. And she's going on and on with healing scriptures. Well, she gets the flu, and she's sick. And she takes it up with God. She says, Lord, you know that I know about your word on healing. You know, Lord, that I believe in healing. You know that I stood in faith, that I wasn't doubting that I wasn't going to get healed. And the Lord said, I don't doubt that for a second. He says, but the problem was you didn't deal with the main issue that came into your life, which was the troubling thought of fear. See, she got fear, took her out of her peace, and the symptoms came. The Lord said to her, you ought to have dealt with the fear first and dealt with the lack of peace that when that thought came and troubled you, you should have been, instead of saying, my God heals all my diseases, you should have said, Lord, I'm not anxious for nothing. I'm in perfect peace. That should have been her confession. She didn't deal with the issue. What? The fear, the troubling thought that took her out of her peace, which robbed her of her faith. James chapter 1 and verse 21 says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. I love that word. Don't be naughty. Isn't that a fun word? Don't be naughty. Right? That reminds me of Christmas. Don't be naughty. And so it said again, just like Romans said, do something with your life. Do something with your body. How many of you know there's things that Christians ought not to put in their bodies? Is that okay to say? There's things that Christians ought not to watch. There's things that Christians ought not to say. There's places that Christians ought not to go. Be ye holy as I am holy. I know that's an unpopular message in 2013, but I'm preaching the Bible here. The Lord says to present your body holy to God. That means your eyes, that means your hands, that means your legs, that means your mouth and how you talk and where you go. It says, wherefore? So there again, it's telling you, do something with your body. And now it says, and this is what we're getting to today, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. What is the word possibility to do? Which is able to save your souls. Now, you need to understand what save your souls mean before I close. It's not talking about your spirits and going to heaven. James is writing to Christians here. James is writing to Christians. How do we know? In verse 2 of chapter 1, he says, my brethren. He's not talking to unsaved people. You can't call somebody a brother in Christ if they're not a brother in Christ, if they're not born again. So when he says the word can save your souls, what he's saying is the word, you have to understand what souls mean here. The soul of a person is the mind, the will, and the emotions. Your spirit, he's already talking to people whose spirits are saved. He wouldn't have told Christians, you need to get the word for your spirits. No, that's not what he said. He's already talking to people who are on their way to heaven. Their spirits are already regenerated. They're already made brand new. But he says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul, your mind. What's he saying? The word will change your mind. Pastor, you're trying to brainwash us here at this church. Yep. Sure am. Trying to brainwash you with the word of God. It's the best thing for you. That pastor's brainwashing us down there. Woo, glory to God, I am. I hope I brainwash you until you are a walking, talking zombie of the Word of God. Where any situation comes, you just Word comes out of you, man. You don't even care. It doesn't even matter. The Word of God comes out. You're darn right I'm brainwashing you. Hallelujah. In the Word of God. And he says that the Word will save your mind. which will keep you in peace, which will keep you in faith, which will keep you in victory. Glory to God. Do you see it there?
Yes.
We need to check up on our thought life. We need to check up on, man, how have I been thinking about my finances? Sure haven't been thinking according to what the Word says. You say, but Pastor Mike, I don't see it. Oh, you're one of those Christians. One of those people that need to see it. One of those that need to feel it. One of those that need to see it before you believe it. You'll never get it then. That's not how God operates. He says, I want you to believe me before you can see it with your eyes. I want you to believe me before you can feel it in your flesh. I want you to believe me before you can see it in your family members. I want you to believe it because I said it in my word. Amen? So who cares if you don't see it? God wants you to believe him before then. And the word will save your soul, save your mind, and keep you in peace. Amen? So check up on your thought life. Check up on your thought life concerning your body. Check up on your thought life regarding your kids. Check up on your thought life regarding your finances. Check up on your thought life regarding every single thing. And if it don't line up with the word, you need to cast those thoughts down because it's robbing peace from you. And the devil's having his way. Let's put an end to that. Jesus died to put the devil under our feet. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for your word this morning. Lord, the only way the devil can get us is if he plants a thought in our mind and we act on that thought. Lord, it's the only way he can take us out of peace. Because, Lord, if we think right about money when it looks like we don't have enough, or when it really is that we don't have enough naturally, it won't trouble us because we know you're our provider. Father, when sickness and disease try to get on our body, it won't trouble us because we know we have a healer. Father, when hell looks like to be reigning supreme in our life, we'll stay in peace because we know you're bigger, you're better, and you're for us, and you love us. Father, we give you praise this morning. We give you glory. We thank you for your precious word. Father, you love people so much. Father, you died for mankind. You proved to the world how much you care about them. And Father, even if there's people in here that have strayed away, even if there's people in here that have put you on the shelf and have put you on the back burner, Lord, you're in heaven with your arms wide open. You're never a God of condemnation. You're never a God that's up there with the fly swatter, just ready to swat people when they do wrong. No, you're the God who loves. You're the God who always welcomes back. You're the God who always forgives. So I just encourage people, if you've been away from God, if you've strayed, if you've taken wrong thoughts, if any of those things describe you, just repent. Just tell them you love them and you're sorry. And you're right back into like you never sinned before. And Father, I just thank you so much for Jesus. I thank you died on the cross for us. Lord, I thank you that 2,000 years ago, Jesus died for my sins and that he rose again from the dead. And that just by accepting you, and on January 10th of 2002, Lord, I asked you to come into my life and you saved me. And things have never been the same since that day in that hunting cabin in Youngsville, Pennsylvania. I'm so thankful for that day, Father. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. If I could ask everybody to bow their heads and to close their eyes, no looking around, please. Everybody, young and younger, older, if you could just close your eyes, bow your heads. You know, maybe you're hearing this the first time you've heard anything like this. Maybe you've never realized, oh my gosh, he's making it sound like things can be good for me. He's making it sound like God actually cares about me. Well, he does. He proved it to you. He demonstrated it to you. Listen, I wouldn't give my son for one single person on the face of this planet, and God gave his son for the worst sinner on earth. He showed his love. If you're here today and you're in this building, or if you're listening to this service over the internet right now, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet earth, where would I go? Ask yourself that. If today heads are bowed, eyes are closed, if today were my last day on planet earth, where would I go? Ask yourself. If the answer isn't a 100%, I know I'm going to heaven, that's a sign that you need Jesus, because the Bible says you can know for sure where you're going when you die. And all you have to do, the Bible says, is to receive Jesus. I don't care what somebody's told you. All the bad things you've ever done can't keep you out. And you can't do enough good things to get you in. Jesus is the answer. So heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to have you come to the front. I'm not going to have you stand up. You're not going to say anything on your own. This is between you and God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus, and you want this to be a new day, you want this to be a new start for you, And you want to know that you're going to heaven, but not only you're going to heaven, but now you'll have a heavenly Father here on earth that will help you, that will love you, that will care for you. If you want to receive Jesus, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, would you just lift your hand real quick and put it right back down? Anybody want to receive Jesus? I see that hand, you can put it down. I see that hand, you can put it down. I see that hand, you can put it down. Is there anybody else that wants to receive Jesus? If you raised your hand, you can put it down. Appreciate your boldness. Is there anybody else that you want to know you're going to heaven? It's a free gift. You don't have to join this church. You don't have to give any money to receive salvation. The Lord made it simple, and I don't want to rush this. Is there anybody else that wants to receive Jesus today? Just slip your hand up real high in the air. We're not in the business of embarrassing you. If you already raised your hand, you can put it down. But if you want to receive Jesus, just lift your hand real high, and I'll have you put it right back down. Anybody else? Anybody else? I see that hand. Father, I thank you for those hands, Lord. Now, Father, I know people are shy at times, and raising your hand doesn't get you saved, but with your heart it does. Now, everybody listen up. Those of you that raised your hand, and those of you that should have but you didn't, I want to lead you in a prayer. And we're all going to pray this because the Bible says the only thing you have to do to get saved now is to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you'll be saved. And so if you raised your hand, or if you didn't raise your hand and you should have, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. You're not going to be the only one saying it. The whole church is going to pray with you. But this is what I ask you. Don't just say the words, but mean them with all your heart. And so if you raised your hand or if you didn't, let's just say this prayer. Everybody say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead. And I ask you to come into my life. Thank you for saving me.
Thank you for saving
me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you can look up here before we're going to dismiss in just a few minutes here. I just want to instruct people, and this goes for everybody. God has such good things for you, and it comes through the preaching and teaching and receiving of his word. Don't let today just be your only experience with God. Get hooked up in a good Bible teaching church, man. I'd love to see you here. I give you my word. I'm only going to preach the Bible, but I'm not foolish enough to think that I'm the only preacher that does that on planet Earth. And so go where you feel God's telling you to go. But get hooked up somewhere. You know, God's got good things for you. The Bible says when one sinner repents, heaven rejoices. Right now there is a party going on in heaven. Glory to God. And so praise God. Have an awesome rest of the week. Remember, we do have coffee and cookies, and we'll see everybody on Wednesday night. You're dismissed.